2. Eddie grabbed the storekeeper just as Roland had grabbed the other man, but Chip showed none of his customer's awareness or instinct for survival. He merely went on staring through the jagged hole where his windows had been, eyes wide with shock and awe as the pulp truck out there entered the final phase of its self-destructive ballet, the cab twisting free of the overloaded carrier and bouncing down the hill beyond the store and into the woods. The load itself went sliding up the right side of the road, creating a huge bow wave of dirt and leaving behind a deep groove of flattened Chevrolet and two more flattened Harriers. There were plenty more where those came from, though. Or so it seemed. The gunfire continued.
"Come on, Chip, time to split,"
Eddie said, and this time when he tugged the shopkeeper toward the back of the store, Chip came, still looking back over his shoulder and wiping blood from the side of his face. At the rear of the market, on the left, was an added-on lunchroom with a counter, a few patched stools, three or four tables, and an old lobster pot over a newsstand, which seemed to contain mostly out-of-date girly magazines. As they reached this part of the building, the gunfire from outside intensified. Then it was dwarfed again, this time by an explosion. The pulper's fuel tank, Eddie assumed. He felt the droning passage of a bullet and saw a round black hole appear in the picture of a lighthouse mounted on the wall.
"Who are those guys?" Chip asked in a perfectly conversational voice. "Who are you? Am I hit? My son was in Vietnam, you know. Did you see that truck?"
Eddie answered none of his questions, just smiled and nodded, and hustled Chip along in Roland's wake. He had absolutely no idea where they were going or how they were going to get out of this fuckery. The only thing he was completely sure of was that Calvin Tower wasn't here, which was probably good. Tower might or might not have brought down this particular batch of hellfire and brimstone, but the hellfire and brimstone was about old Cal. Of that, Eddie had no doubt. If old Cal had only... A darning needle of heat suddenly tore through his arm, and Eddie shouted in surprise and pain. A moment later, another punched him in the calf. His lower right leg exploded into serious pain, and he cried out again.
"Eddie," Roland chanced a look back, "are you—"
"Yeah, fine, go, go."
Ahead of them now was a cheap fiberboard back wall with three doors in it. One was marked "Boys," one "Gulls," one "Employees Only."
"Employees Only," Eddie shouted.
He looked down and saw a blood-ringed hole in his blue jeans about 3 inches below his right knee. The bullet hadn't exploded the knee itself, which was to the good, but oh, mama, it hurt like the veriest motherfucker of creation. Over his head, a light globe exploded. Glass showered down on Eddie's head and shoulders.
"I'm insured, but God knows if it covers something like this," Chip said in his perfectly conversational voice.
He wiped more blood from his face, then slatted it off his fingertips and onto the floor, where it made a Rorschach ink blot. Bullets buzzed around them. Eddie saw one flip up Chip's collar. Somewhere behind them, Jack Andolini, old Double Ugly, was hollering in Italian. Eddie somehow didn't think he was calling retreat. Roland and the customer in the flannel shirt went through the employees-only door. Eddie followed, pumped up on the wine of adrenaline and still dragging Chip. This was a storeroom, and of quite a good size. Eddie could smell different kinds of grain, some sort of minty tang, and most of all, coffee. Now Mr. Flannel's shirt had taken the lead. Roland followed him quickly down the storeroom's center aisle and between pallets stacked high with canned goods. Eddie limped gamely along after, still hauling the shopkeeper. Old Chip had lost a lot of blood from the wound on the side of his head, and Eddie kept expecting him to pass out, but Chip actually seemed, well, chipper. He was currently asking Eddie what had happened to Ruth Beamer and her sister. If he meant the two women who'd been in the store, Eddie was pretty sure he did, Eddie hoped that Chip wouldn't suddenly regain his memory. There was another door at the back. Mr. Flannel's shirt opened it and started out. Roland hauled him back by the shirt, then went out himself, low. Eddie stood Chip beside Mr. Flannel's shirt and himself just in front of them. Behind them, bullets smacked through the employees-only door, creating startled white eyes of daylight.
"Eddie," Roland grunted, "to me."
Eddie limped out. There was a loading dock here, and beyond it about an acre of unlovely, churned-up ground. Trash barrels had been stacked haphazardly to the right of the dock, and there were two dumpsters to the left, but it didn't look to Eddie Dean as if anyone had worried too much about putting litter in its place.